And now, our feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh, Damn It.
First of all, starting off, I'm appalled. My name is Ace, and I'm on a case. I've been born and raised in the Fillmore, in which we call it the Phil, no more. The issue here that I'm come here to speak on, and I was coming to say, I'm not objective or for it, but we need to know what the hell he think he's are they doing. Now, it shows some confidence there, or it shows some cockiness, in which me, Ace, on the case, I'm very disappointed. So right now, it's a bad mark, but it can, there's room for improvement. But you make it loud and clear in his ear that Ace is on the case. Now, the information that I have here, I can't get from your secretary. She said confidential. Block it out. But I'm appalled. It's taking my time coming down here, although I'm down here at City Hall. I call it Silly Hall. But the deal is right now, the issue is my name is Ace. Ooh, and I've been on this case. Some of those people out there didn't want me all in that place. But it's no mystery. Just check my history. Ooh, I've been working on that case because it got a lot of conspiracy. Ooh. Thank you very much.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Touch and Rich, and we are all Ace.
Are we all on the case?
We're all on our individual cases in life, trying to figure things out. Now, Rich, these are all city halls. And even though San Francisco is, I believe, the fourth largest city in the United States.
Was that San Francisco? I don't think... Oh, yeah, he was. Okay, there's a couple strange people in San Francisco City Hall. It's a very strange town full of strange people.
Yeah, but you know, it is indeed a San Francisco big city, but... Even on the national level, Rich, there is things going on that are bizarre.
That is true. So yesterday, in the midst of a hearing before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, they had the CEO of Twitter, who was out there, Jack Dorsey, and they were asking him a bunch of questions and shenanigans. And at one point during his questioning, a protester showed up in the galley and started yelling stuff. And what happened afterwards is, well, this.
Recognizes that. Order. We'll have order in the hearing room or you'll be asked to leave. Ma'am, if you'll please take a seat or we'll have to have you, then you'll need to relieve.
President Donald Trump, help us. Please help us, Mr. President, before it is too late, because Jack Dorsey is trying to influence the election, to sway the election.
What she's saying, I can't understand her. What?
Steal the election. That is why he is censoring and shadow banning.
How many down? 12 and a half, 15, 7 down, $20, 2 and a half, 5, 7 and a half, 30. Hit $30 down here, 2 and a half, 5, 35, 7 and a half, 40. Hit $40, 2 and a half, 5, 5, 45, 7 and a half, 50. Hit $50 down here, 2 and a half, 5,
55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55,
55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, 55, up 2.5 now, 5.75, 7.5, $80 to 5, 85, 90, $800 at 10, 10, 10, a quarter, 1, a quarter, 1, a half, set about 2, 2 and a quarter.
Who's doing that?
What the hell? That is one of the congressmen. He just started saying, he's Representative Billy Long.
It's an auctioneer.
That's a livestock auctioneer. So you got to feel good about someone's qualifications for office when they are an expert livestock engineer. I'm going to filibuster by doing the hickest thing on the planet. You might as well just sit there. Oh, look at that fat piece of garbage.
And the best part is that no one's like breaking character. Everyone's just like straight faced. Like, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen Phil do this before.
Phil does this at the buffet line.
Yeah, like when they're splitting the checks and Phil just starts auctioning things off.
He's dividing like whoopie pies.
Yeah.
There's so many Skittles I took off your plate. Yeah. Mac and cheese.
Yeah, when he gets caught, taking Little Debbie's off the store shelves and walking out.
Yep, 2.5 and a mile, 3, able to bomb 300. Yep, 3 and a quarter.
I can't hear you.
3 and a quarter now, halfway.
When the prostitute starts asking for her money.
Yep, 2.5 and a mile, 3, able to bomb 300. Yep, 3 and a quarter.
Well, if you watch the news, this, all protesting should be illegal anyway. But, and then he continued.
Hit 2 1/2, set of 5, 3, you able to bomb 300, hit 3 1/4, cut 3 1/4 now, half, 3 1/2, set of 5, 400, hit but a 4, 4 1/4, 4 1/2, we're selling the cell phone there, 4 1/4, 4 1/2, hit 4 1/2, 475, 500, 5, 5 1/4, 5 1/2, I yield back.
Okay, and then that's the end of it.
Yeah, no one really cared.
The floor is yours. Looking around like,
and then you know he put his fingers under his arm, suspenders and went like, "Yep, that's what I can do." That's right. Your move, Tex.
He's getting fitted for new pants, and he's reading the little band with the measurement on it.
That's right. You got the right thing going on.
Hang on.
5, 15, 75.
I'll counter that.
Really,
ain't God grand?
Crazy, right?
Look at it. Now, that's someone I can get behind.
That is why I'm censoring and shadow banning.
I'm at a Dan. 12 and a half, 15, 7 and a half, 20.
Yeah.
5, 7 and a half,
30. Uh-huh. I second that notion.
Numbers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hit 2 1/2, 3, able to bomb 300. Hit 3 1/4. Hit 3 1/4 now, half, 3 1/2, 75, 400.
75, 400, 5, 15, 75.
5, 15, 75.
Oh, yeah. Sandwiches and hoagies and light.
That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
Right.
Listen to this guy. That's why I kiss him on the mouth.
Oh, yes. Well, here's somebody that maybe Ray Lewis might have a little bit of sympathy towards. So, obviously, you see some people who do some strange behavior when it comes to members of Congress. But this, I think, is my all-time favorite. This is a gentleman who is a representative from the state of Georgia. And he is talking to an admiral, and they're talking about building some sort of military base on the island of Guam.
Okay.
And this representative from Georgia has a little bit of a question about some of the schematics having to do with building a military base on the island of Guam.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore?
You still make lewds.
I mean, it's very just chill.
No, I think that he is under the influence of depressants or some sort of barbiturate.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's...
Somewhere Eckersley's under the table, like, you're doing all right.
Because of the lewds?
Yeah, he's like, I told you this was creeper weed. Dude, listen to you talking about Guam. This doobie. Dude, you're high as hell.
7 miles... between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long.
Now, how are we going to pay for this? Ass, cash, or grass?
Because nobody rides for free. We're aware of this.
How are we going to build this?
So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island.
I'd like to take a moment and address the melting clown in the room. Sir, could I please ask you to leave? Or to turn into some less frightening creature.
And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah.
Cool. poo.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Can you imagine being this admiral sitting there just listening to this guy?
Got elected.
It took him 2 minutes to get to his point.
50,000 people looked at that guy and said, this guy should be in charge.
That he believes an island can tip over.
Listen, I was talking to my boy Switchblade Sammy. And we just said, what is this thing going to do, turn over? Now, excuse me. I will be in the bathroom hiding from the bats that seem to have infiltrated the place. Sir, if I could get the chairman, I've forgotten how to swallow.
I need something to help bring me back up. Anybody got anything?
Yep, 2 and a half, 3 and a quarter.
Pump some of that.
Cut 3 and a quarter now, half, 3 and a half.
Take some of that. Cut 3 and a quarter. That's too much baby laxative. Man, that thing's going to tip.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000. And again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
I mean, could you imagine that? Could you imagine sitting there and hearing a guy go?
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Yeah, he's high. I mean, he's high as hell. In fact, does anyone feel the ground moving right now? Man, why can't you see air? How do we even know it's in here before? By the way, these are all things I thought when I was way too high.
About the melting clown in the corner?
No. I've never seen anything but, like, forgetting to swallow or saying, why can't I see air? Like, how are we sure there's air in here?
All right. We are going to talk to Dave Richard, of course, our fantasy football guru. 617-779-0985. 617-779-0985.
Yep, 2 and a half, 75, 3, equal bomb, 300, yep, 3 and a quarter. Cut, 3 and a quarter now, half, 3 and a half, 75, 400.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Dave Richard is brought to you by Nissan. Nissan driven to excite. He, of course, is a fantasy football guru from CBSSports.com. And I'll tell you this as well, is that you can catch Dave on Fantasy Football Today live every day at noon on CBS Sports News streaming channel, CBS Sports HQ. For the latest sports news, highlights, and smart analysis, it's all free at CBSSportsHQ.com or on the free CBS Sports app. Dave Richard, hello, sir.
Hello, you beautiful human being. Everybody is beautiful on this day. It is the first day of the NFL season. We get the Eagles, we get the Falcons, we get Nick Foles. I guess that's supposed to be a beautiful thing. But most importantly, we get fantasy football back. It's time to get lineups rocking. Draft season is over, and it's like I said, beautiful day, beautiful time to be alive.
Is there anyone that people should be, maybe they wouldn't start normally on a normal week, but someone should maybe play tonight?
For tonight's game, there's an interesting tight end. This wouldn't be the sleeper tight end that I would give you, but Dallas Goedert, the rookie that they drafted in the second round, I think he's going to end up playing quite a bit. The Eagles, of course, without Alshon Jeffrey, they're also without another receiver named Matt Collins, so they're a little thin at wideout. And they like to play matchups. They're a very creative offense, as you guys saw in the Super Bowl. I think you're going to see a lot of Zach Ertz. Obviously, everybody knows what he can do. But Dallas Goedert might end up playing quite a bit as well. He's just as big as Ertz, maybe not quite as fast as Ertz, but certainly has a chance to catch a touchdown. So if you're really in a pinch at tight end this week, you could roll with him.
How far does Le'Veon Bell drop in the first round based on the news this week?
First round, you're not even in the ballpark. He's more of a second round, maybe even third round, based on what's going on. Look, no one knows when he's coming back. There is a plausible case that he misses the first 10 games of the season. And anybody that drafted Le'Veon Bell, or if you're still drafting and you get the chance to take him, you've got to get James Conner. And that's a guy whose draft stock is risen faster than anybody's I've seen, certainly this year, but maybe in the last 3 or 4 years. He's going to be like a round 6, round 7 type of pick now, because there's a chance he could be the Steelers starter for the first 10 games of the season. No one knows for sure. It's very frustrating, especially if you drafted, you know, a week or two ago and you had Le'Veon Bell and you took him. Maybe you took him number 1 overall. This was a risk you weren't really even thinking about, and now here it is coming out to play. You might not have him on your team. I think the Steelers are very happy to move forward without him because they don't have to pay him, and then he's not a distraction all season long in the locker room. This is in Le'Veon's hands now when he decides to come back.
Okay, so, Dave, a lot of people, and I know that I was one who was lucky enough to get James White near the end of my draft. I couldn't believe he was still there. It was like, I think, like 2 picks left. But he's going to be huge. Nice. He's going to be huge over the next couple of weeks, right?
I think so. And really, I'm not sure exactly how he'll be used, but I can give you the whole scope of it. He could either be the replacement for Julian Edelman and work in the slot. I think he's their best fit for that at this point, knowing how thin they are at wide receiver. I really don't think Philip Dorsett is the best guy for that. White could be that guy. He's also the one who's been in the offense the longest. He knows what to do. Bill Belichick asks these guys, you know what he says, do your job. And James White has done his job now for 4 seasons. He's a proven pass catcher out of the backfield. But we've seen him run the ball well, too. Would it be a shock, would it be a surprise if he ended up leading this team in total yards, at least from the running backs, for the first couple of games of the season? I say no. He is a sneaky sleeper this week and every week until Edelman comes back. And even when Edelman comes back, if he proves that he can do what Deion Lewis did last season, he'll be the guy.
All right, Alan, you were on with fantasy football guru, Mr. Dave Richard.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
So I was lucky enough not to draft Le'Veon Bell. Instead, I offered a trade last week, and I accepted it. I gave away Rob Gronkowski and Kareem Hunt for Le'Veon Bell and Jordan Reed. Luckily, I did pick up James Conner in that league, but I would like to see if I got the short end of the stick on that trade without Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, of course you got the short end of the stick. I don't know what you were thinking by making that deal. And now you're the one who's going to be stuck dealing with Le'Veon and his whole headache. You know what you should do? You should drive to Pittsburgh, find Le'Veon Bell, and beg him to come back. Maybe, you know, you're probably loaded. Give him a couple million bucks, and then he'll come back and rejoin the Steelers.
All right, let's go to John. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, Johnny.
So, hey, Dave, real quick, 2 questions. Who should I start first in a standard scoring league, LeGarrette Blount, Peyton Barber, or Duke Johnson? And anything in the pipeline of what's going on with Robbie Anderson and any kind of suspension coming down? Thank you.
No, I haven't heard anything about a suspension for Robbie Anderson. That's almost on the back burner at this point, given the situation that he's in this week. Tough matchup for him against Detroit. Matt Patricia has done a great job of shutting him down back when he was with the Patriots. And he's got a rookie quarterback making his first start who's had a little bit of trouble throwing the ball downfield. It is not going to be a good start to the Jets season. As for your running backs, I think Peyton Barber's the guy to go with. I know it's not the best matchup. He's going up against New Orleans. He did score against them last season, but more importantly, he has the look of being that bell cow for the Buccaneers. And Tampa Bay's offensive line isn't so bad. Their defense is much improved. I can't help but think that he'll be a number 2 fantasy running back this week. I've got him ranked as such.
All right. Okay, Kyle. Hello, you're on with the great Dave Richard. Yeah, Dan, that's not going to work. Hey, Kyle, you're on with the great Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning. I just have one question for Dave. Standard PPR league, I need to start 2 out of the 3. Michael Crabtree, Deion Lewis, or Nelson Agholor?
I'm the most nervous about Agholor, believe it or not. I'm concerned about the track record with Nick Foles. Yes, he's gotten a lot of targets in six games last year, one touchdown, one game with double-digit fantasy points. Even the matchup's probably easiest for him, but again, remember, Philadelphia's thin on wide receivers, and the Falcons are going to know this, so planning for Nelson Agholor probably won't be that hard for them. I would sit him and go with the other two guys in a PPR league.
All right, Dan, go ahead. You're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, how you doing? Actually, just kind of answered one of my questions, but I was going to see if in my flex position I should start Devin Funchess or Nelson Agholor, and then at quarterback, should I do Case Keenum or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, it's a tough call, quarterback. I think you might as well just go with Garoppolo in this case. See if you can find Andy Dalton on your waiver wire. My guess is you can't if you've got Case Keenum on your team. Maybe your league drafts a bunch of quarterbacks. But if Andy Dalton is out there, I think he's got an amazing matchup coming up against Indianapolis. That defense is going to be terrible. And I would actually go with Agholor over Funchess. We're just not sure what type of a role Funchess is going to have this year. Greg Olson's back. DJ Moore added to the mix. Christian McCaffrey's going to get a ton of catches. I think Agholor's just a little bit of a safer play than Funchess.
I'm always curious about the flex position is that everyone says, you know, draft running backs, running backs, running backs. If you have three starting running backs, shouldn't you play a running back in the flex position?
It depends on scoring, Fred. If catches count, I think it's better for a wide receiver or even a premier tight end to take that flex spot because just by nature, unless you really have a great running back that catches a lot of passes, those guys are going to get you more points. It's different in a non-PPR league. In that case, you're right. A running back probably would be the better start because they touch the ball more. They have more opportunities to get you close to 100 yards. They have more opportunities to score a touchdown.
All right. Dave, I have a question for you.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
All right. Who will excite fantasy owners this week? It's brought to you by Nissan Driven to Excite.
I've got a gruesome twosome for you from the Indianapolis Colts, and they're both at tight end, Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. These guys are going to be the number two and number three receivers for Andrew Luck all season long. They're going to take on the Bengals defense. It's a little bit thin at linebacker and a lot inexperienced at safety. Andrew Luck's going to throw a lot in this game. I assume he's going to play from behind. Look for Eric Ebron to get about four or five catches. Look for Jack Doyle to get three, four, five, maybe even six catches. But Ebron is a little bit more explosive. He's the better touchdown threat. Both of these guys, interesting tight end plays. Ebron's actually in my top 10 this week. Can't believe I'm saying that. But if you need a tight end, maybe you're nervous about Evan Engram, go look at the Colts guys.
Yeah, Ebron is someone who follows the Lions. Ebron is a little frightening. Maybe he'll catch. Maybe he'll actually catch things that hit his hands. That would be
nice.
I
think he's in a better opportunity now in Indianapolis than he ever was in Detroit, and I think he could actually pay off this week.
You would know more than I. All right, Dave Richard, thank you so much for the time, sir.
You got it, and good luck in your leagues, gentlemen.
All right, talk to you next week. Appreciate it. By the way, be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Patriots season home opener against the Houston Texans Sunday afternoon at beautiful Gillette Stadium. It's going to be fall-like conditions.
Right. Football's back.
Dude, it's kind of, the heat sucked.
It doesn't suck.
The heat
under
sucked.
No
the heat
circumstances
sucked
does the heat
it,
suck.
It was not fun.
Oh, record heat today? Oh, sweet. I got an hour and a half baseball practice.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it, too.
I'm absolutely fine with it. Bring it on. That's good.
Plus, I need sun as soon as possible because I got to put this stuff on my head.
Got to get for my autoimmune layer of skin. Yeah.
So my autoimmune disease, I have to go put this steroid cream on so I don't end up having a Sammy Sosa situation, I guess is what they're telling me. Maybe today my thyroid test will come back. See, if you don't know, I have a discoloration on my forehead that I assumed was from the sun.
But you know what? I didn't notice until you said it.
Oh, I noticed it a lot.
No, I didn't. With Rich, I didn't notice it at all.
Well, it's in this one circumstance, it's better that I am very light skin because apparently, then it's not as noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
But Hachi Machi, I just thought he was going to go, you know, put some aloe on it, but then all of a sudden I'm taking blood tests and getting steroid creams and everything else. So be listening for those tickets. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I guess it's pretty much chaos going on out there right now. So
with 93 and, you know, the, yeah, and the tunnel, and yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
So enjoy that.
Yeah. Real quick,
we're,
John.
You make fun of us for being on the radio so early. Looks like we're the cat who ate the canary.
It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Rich.
Real quick, before we get into this, John, what were you just asking me?
Top five best jersey sales on Fanatics during the NFL preseason.
Okay.
Last year, I'll read you the top five from last year. Dak Prescott, number one. Brady, two. Odell Beckham, three. Speaking to your theory about how all Odell Beckham jerseys sell regardless. Marshawn Lynch, four. Derek Carr, five.
Okay, right, well, Odell Beckham is on the list.
Odell Beckham is not on the list this year.
Really?
Yeah,
because everyone already has
him. I said Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo is second best during the preseason on Fanatics.
Okay, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, not there.
Sam Darnold, I asked, and you said
Sam
he wasn't
Darnold,
on there.
Not there.
Okay, then, Brady.
Barkley.
Brady is number four, and Saquon Barkley is number one.
All right, very good.
Okay. And right. Khalil Mack, by the way, fifth. Would have been better. The Bears jersey is fifth. Would have been better if the trade had happened 2 weeks ago.
Well, of course it would have. So, you know, by watching this year's Hard Knocks, you got to kind of see a first-rate loser organization and how they work from the inside out. And when you look over the past few years, can you think of many bigger failures when it comes to having talent and being just not knowing what to do with it or abusing it the Colts did to Andrew Luck?
Well, yeah, they drafted terribly. They drafted, they had a bunch of positions of need, which they did not address during the draft.
Made sure they did not draft any offensive line.
Yeah, they just
other than our guy Costanzo, that was it.
So, yeah, like Costanzo, who is, I would say a little above average. He's over there, but I would, they never addressed anything. They never thought to protect their quarterback. It ultimately bit him in the ass. They had a terrible defense. So they never addressed the defense anywhere high in the draft. They took Philip Dorsett when it was not a position of need, and that you saw how that worked out. Yeah, and then they kept their GM and coach on for far too long.
Well, the one thing that makes it fun dancing on their grave is that Ryan Grigson, the GM, was such a douchebag. Like, I mean, he was as bad during not only just the whole Deflategate thing. I know Patriots fans hate him for all the stuff he did with that, but he was so entitled, and he just looked like a slime ball from like a Die Hard movie, except the unathletic one that was just giving the advice. So Pat McAfee, who I like very much. And I know he used to do some stuff for Barstool Sports. He just left there. But he did an interview.
The Mercurial.
Yes.
Pat McAfee. We were trying to track down. If you know Pat McAfee, tell him to give us a shout out.
But he did an interview recently where he talked about the day that he realized, I'm done. I'm done with playing for the Colts. And he had to suffer through all of this. So in this article, it says, McAfee recounted a time in 2016 after the Colts were blown out by the Steelers 28-7 in a Thanksgiving Day game. The Colts' lone score came after McAfee on fourth down completed a 35-yard pass that set up an 8-yard Frank Gore touchdown run. Days later, McAfee was called into Ryan Grigson's office, where he thought he might be thanked for helping the team avoid a shutout on national television. Quote, maybe this is an olive branch, McAfee said, and he thought to himself at the time. I'm leading the league in almost everything. I don't think I've given up a return yard in maybe 2 months, 3 months. I'm the number two jersey seller for the Colts. I'm doing a lot of charity work. Maybe this is Grigson being, you know, I find you three to four times.
There's one other time that there was a time where, you know how when you get the tickets to the game, they have like the best player. There was a time where Hanson, the punter for the Lions, was on. God. And then it was the kicker
Hanson was
before
a kicker,
Prater.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Hanson was.
He was a kicker there for like 15 years.
Hanson was on some, and then a punter 1 year was on all the tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, Hanson and they got Prater now. All right. Yeah. So go ahead.
He says, I'm leading the league in almost everything. I don't think I've given up a return yard in maybe 2 months, 3 months. I'm the number two jersey seller for the Colts. I'm doing a lot of charity work. Maybe this is Grigson being, you know, I find you three to four times about dumb blank, but I would like to be friends now. Nope. McAfee continues. He goes, sit down. And I'm like, whoa. There was already in my head an idea of me being sick of making money for Ryan Grigson and the Colts operation at the time. It was at that moment that I realized I'm blanking done here. Quote, He had a picture on a piece of paper, slams it on the desk, pushes it across the desk to me, and I look at it. At this moment in my head, I've already said blanket to this guy. I look at the photo, I look up at him. It's like a moment of silence. This was the photo. Now, it's a photo of Pat McAfee standing on like a equipment box holding like a fake microphone. And underneath it, it says, just waiting on the WWE to make the call for the greatest promo in sports entertainment in decades. Live like Ric Flair, talk like The Rock, don't give a damn like Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's almost like my mother and father created a superstar on purpose. So he was just like putting something out there, just a shout out to the WWE. And the issue, according to McAfee, was that the photo had been taken in the, quote, football room. It gets crazier. He pulls out my contract, opens it up, goes to a clause. Since this isn't your first offense, I can fine you a game check for this. McAfee remembered Gregson saying, you only get 17 game checks in your entire salary. So if you want to look up what it is, it was about $100,000 almost. I said, for what? He said, is that a football room? I said, well, the title is an equipment room. There's footballs in there, I guess. And he goes, why do you have to be such a smartass? I can fine you anything I want. This is why we're losing. This is why we lost to the Steelers, he tells me.
Yeah.
So that unfazed.
It's always the punter's fault.
So that unfazed, because McAfee's already checked out at this point, he responds with, quote, I said, you paid a guy $140 million and you can't keep him healthy. Your offensive line is Swiss cheese. He's blown out his shoulder three times and you're worried about this blank? He goes, what did you just say to me? And I go, oh, yeah, I'm the best in the game at what I do. I wish you would do the same. This is a moment he did not expect.
That's great.
He goes, you're going to walk in my office and disrespect me? I go, you called me in here. He said, I'm going to fine you a whole game check. I said, cool, bro, and literally walked out of his office. As I walk out, he gives me the, get out of my office. And I go, I'm already walking out. What a douche that guy is. Gregson is the worst. And it's things like that. Can you imagine that being brought in? It's like, you took a picture in the equipment room, and I'm going to fine you an entire game check for that.
There's nothing better than when you don't care about being fired.
It's great. It's great. It's like, liberating. It actually feels good.
Oh, yeah. I told you about the time I was working at the Ground Round. And I was in training, and I knew I was going to college in like a couple weeks, so I wasn't trying at all because I knew I'd be a crappy waiter and I didn't want to get the tips. And I walked in, the manager called me into the office, and he was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? And he's like, I've been slacking since you've been here, haven't you? And I'm like, And he goes, I'm going to have to say, you're fired. And I go, all right, cool. I got to go back to school in 2 weeks. And he's like, what? like he was so disappointed.
That it didn't crush you.
Did it crush me? Like, oh, no, Ground Round. Farmington Hills Ground Round. Please. My Lord, what will I do from here? This daytime server position during the week at Ground Round. I'm screwed. You've taken away my life. So, yes, everyone has been in that situation, and if he handled it that way, God bless him.
Yeah, it sounds like he was going into there knowing that he hated everything that was around him anyway, and what a horrible, horrible environment to work
in. Well, it's amazing. Well, the hubris of guys that are in management in the NFL is unbelievable. I mean, you saw the situation that was happening in Kansas City. Was that with Pioli?
Yeah. With the taping everything? Of the, yep.
I mean, these guys, they're really kind of dumb. Because what they do is, and it happened with Mangini, and it happened with McDaniels, and it's like people who rip off Stern, and then what they do is that they find like one characteristic of the person.
And think that's the reason that they were great.
And run with it. Yeah. And so you don't realize that there's a three-dimensional person there. There's a lot going on. So when Mangini and McDaniels dressed like Belichick, you're like, what are you doing? Mangini completely changed his personality. When you saw him on ESPN, you realized he wasn't like that at all. He tried to copy Bill Belichick's personality as if
That's why Belichick is successful.
In fairness, the one guy that I kind of feel like a lot better about was Josh McDaniels, because you know that article where he said he admits he did everything wrong, and he kept this huge journal where he wrote down, here's all the horrible things I did and why I'm never going to do that again eventually coach of the New England Patriots, as I was promised.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he could take a job and actually put that to use. And maybe he could, speaking of the Colts, maybe he could not accept a job, have the team hire assistants, and then go, whoopsie-daisies. I don't want to coach here anymore.
Yeah, that doesn't
I like,
good.
Does McDaniel's journal say, act like a complete pussy and never take a head coaching job?
I think it's he was promised it here.
He had a head coaching job.
Well,
met with Gregson twice, by the way. I'm like, this is a guy I want to work for.
Gregson was gone at the time.
Yeah, that's right. He had been gone.
No, what happened was he showed up at the meeting, and a guy walked out with a kick-ass Counting Crows t-shirt and said,
hey, you fired up?
That's right. Just like, you just sit right there, and you tell me what lick I'm playing.
And then he said to him, he went,
all they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
That's right.
Now sit here while I play you some blues. We'll be back. Remember that your tickets for Sunday's home opener with the wonderful Patriots and Texans is coming up at 9:30.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Toucher and Rich. Have a Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey, Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Patriots season home opener against the Houston Texans Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, a game in which the Patriots are favored by 6.5 points, which seems like a lot. Because isn't the whole MO of Belichick, and we've heard this numerous times, that you know, it's just an extended preseason. He's not overly concerned about the beginning of the season. He wants to
play in November and December.
Think about the first four games of, you know, the past several seasons. I mean, there was the one that they won the Super Bowl where we're on to Cincinnati, where they looked like a disaster, and they always end up figuring it out.
Right, so 6.5 seems an awful lot, playing against a good team without one of your best weapons.
Oh, you see, I think that 6.5 sounds about right, because, I mean, obviously home field advantage gives you 3, and then you don't know what Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt. There's a lot of guys, important guys, returning from injury. So you don't know where they are. And this team, once again, still has Tom Brady, who just finds a way to win.
Well, Deshaun Watson should be fine. I mean, enough time has gone by that he should be fine.
You would think so.
I'm not worried about Deshaun Watson. I just think that that's a very high number. I think that's a game they lose. I think they lose the first two games. I think they lose at Jacksonville for sure. And I think they're completely fine with that.
Because it'll be a tough one.
Because get them out of the way now, which is what the whole MO of the Patriots organization is.
And then when you play them again in the playoffs, you're running instead of walking.
I just got a weird feeling that it's going to be one of those situations where I know all of us feel that it's going to be close, and the Patriots could lose this one. I don't think none of us, as you just said, are confident that they're going to win. I think that I believe they will, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. But why do I think this is going to be one of those things where we're going to come in Monday morning and just be like, why are we worried?
Because it's happened 16 times before.
Right.
Where we look at the Cincinnati game, well, they just got their asses kicked by Kansas City and they're working on a short week. Cincinnati's playing really well. Of course they're going to lose to Cincinnati.
We've also seen before, Fred, the Texans get off the bus at Gillette Stadium and the second they step off, crap themselves.
I've also seen losing a very good left tackle and having your rookie first-round pick go down and going up against Watt and Clowney.
No, you're right. Listen,
so
you're right.
I see you not allowing Brady to take more than a second and a half to get rid of the ball the entire game.
The counter argument for that is it's a short passing game all afternoon anyway.
Right. Well, I mean,
they're not going to throw the ball deep all that much.
Okay, but if I know going in, at least that would seem to be like I know that he's got to get rid of the ball right away.
Dozens of teams have known that the Patriots haven't had a deep threat outside of Randy Moss and last year Brandon Cooks for years, and somehow they still managed to move the ball down the field.
I know. I'm just saying that they are up against what should be a very good pass rush. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.